Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Honlein. We welcome Devorah Margolin, the Blumenstein Rosenblum Senior Fellow at Washington Institute and an adjunct professor at Georgetown University, to help us understand the governance of jihadists. I know it seems like a far-fetched idea, but recently I ran into the Taliban presenting themselves as obedient to Mullah Hibatullah, Sheikh Hibatullah, in Kabul, giving out orders, suppressing people, executing people, banning women from talking in public. At the same time, there's a man named Sirajuddin Haqqani, the son of the founder of the Haqqani Network of Khost Province. And Haqqani is now on a charm offensive to present himself to the UN, the EU, the OSCE, China, and Russia as a liaison to the Taliban government and someone who can soften, who can speak out for women or those who are condemned. And Devorah, I give as much as I understand. How does this work for governance? It looks like they're doing good cop, bad cop. Is that purposeful? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I think that is exactly what we're seeing. When we look at jihadist governance, it's really important to remember first a few things. There is, first of all, no uniform type of jihadist governance. So what we would see the Taliban doing isn't necessarily what we're going to see a group like the Islamic State or Hamas doing. But what we do know is that all seek to really control populations and every aspect of society, to regulate social relationships, to apply their ideology, extract resources from local communities, and then take those resources for their own gain. And for a group like the Taliban, what we're seeing in this case is kind of the duality of how groups play both internal and external audiences. So the Taliban is seeking both legitimacy internally in Afghanistan, as well as externally among the international community. And so it knows that in order to get what it wants from society and imply its laws and ideology on local community, it needs to have some buy-in locally, but also externally. In order to get the legitimacy it wants externally from the international community, it has to, you know, address issues that are important to the international community, such as women's issues.
So they pretend to fool us and we pretend to be fooled? Is that why the UN is going along with this?
I don't necessarily know if we are pretending to be fooled. And I don't think everyone at the UN is going along with this either. I think what we're seeing is there's questions. The other important finding that we found in our edited volume is, you know, jihadist governance does not emerge out of thin air. And we have to pay attention to local institutional contexts that are important, historical lessons, right? This is not the Taliban's first time trying to govern. It is their second time. And they perceive that they've had some legitimacy in that process. There was a negotiation with them. There was a withdrawal of U.S. forces. And so they have some perceived legitimacy in what they are trying to do. And I also think it's really important that, you know, jihadist governance is not one way or straightforward. We are going to see a bunch of two steps forward, one step back. And the international community is going to try and figure out how to engage with this group because they are there. And it's not always going to be clear cut.
Malcolm?
Despite the military losses that Hamas has obviously been suffering or adopting to, what do you see their post-conflict structure with so much of their leadership having been eliminated? Do you think the influence amongst Gazan civilians is weakening? Does external pressure strengthen their resolve and unite people behind them? Or will people look for an alternative to Hamas?
So Hamas appears to really be playing the waiting game from kind of their point of view, from what we've seen, how they've interacted with negotiations or lack of negotiations, is they kind of feel as if they just wait around long enough that they will win. And they're also aware that sustaining its grip on civilian spaces is really crucial to preserving its dominance in the Palestinian arena in the day after, as we say. But its grip is loosening, and it's not as tight as it once was. We do still continue to see shadow governance, is how we call it, right? The Islamic State's top leadership has been destroyed. Its ministries, it operated, you know, close to 16 ministries before the war, those are not really operating now. What's operating is more of a propaganda machine. But what we are seeing is shadow governance. And so that's control on people, very much kind of taking taxes, still collecting taxes, keeping order, using violence in order to keep that order. And in doing so, it's controlling aid and it's controlling the narrative. And it's still making it clear that it's a force to be reckoned with. And that's the goal of that is to kind of make populations in Gaza continue to think that Hamas is the only viable option, but it's not. And what the international community needs to do is make it clear to Gazans that Hamas is not the only viable option by giving them another option, by making sure humanitarian aid gets to where it needs to go. And also we are seeing changes. We are seeing polls indicate that Hamas is not having the grip that it once has. And we're also seeing frustration among local Gazans that are becoming more vocal online, which has not always been the case. Because, again, if you're vocal against Hamas online, there's often deadly consequences.
The search for legitimacy in Hezbollah, I believe they were many years in building up the idea that they had social services. Does that teach us anything about how they deceive those who want to be deceived?
So I think, as I mentioned before, all jihadist governance tries to, in some ways, penetrate society and extract resources from local communities. Those can be financial resources, but it can also be ideological support. And many of these jihadist groups don't emerge out of, we say they don't emerge out of thin air, right? They come from places in which there are often undergoverned or alternatively governed areas. And these groups, Hezbollah included, fills the gap. They ensure that they are offering the services that government should be offering, but isn't. And so it helps to buy them local support, because if you say my government, in this case, Lebanon, is not providing trash services, education, food, medical care, but you are getting that from Hezbollah, you are getting more governance than you are from your government. And so it definitely buys internal legitimacy among local populations.
Malcolm, we have about a minute.
Do you see that the Houthis and other groups, the militias, are trying to draw lessons from the Gaza experience in terms of their own governance structure and the response to the day after?
So the Houthis have not effectively governed in the same sense that other groups have, be it the Islamic State, Hamas, the Taliban, or even Hezbollah. But where they are focused is more on the insurgency and fighting external actors rather than on the governance. The governance has been a lot less implemented or successfully implemented.
Devera, just a moment here about governance. Is that a word that stretches a little bit too far when you talk about mass murderers? Is it okay to call somebody who's been responsible for thousands of deaths a governance?
Well, I think they're unfortunately two unrelated things.
We have 30 seconds, Devora. Go ahead.
They're two unrelated things. Governance is control of populations, whereas terrorism is the act of violence against civilians. And unfortunately, even those who are non-state actors can be governing, and we are seeing a rise in non-state governance.
Devora Margolin, Blumenstein Rosenblum Senior Fellow, Washington Institute, Adjunct Professor at Georgetown University, Malcolm Hohnlein.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?